Welcome to the Shortwave Report. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. The Shortwave Report is a 30-minute review of news and opinion heard on a shortwave radio and the internet in Northern California. Listening to international broadcast at home is quite easy. You could use a shortwave radio with the schedule of English language broadcast, but it's simpler to use a computer or smartphone with an internet connection. To help you with this, I'll announce times, frequencies, and website addresses at the conclusion of each series of stories. At the website for this show, that's outfarpress.com, you can listen to the past 5 shortwave reports and find advice for listening to shortwave at home. Please check out the website and tell a friend. In today's edition, you'll hear reports from France 24, Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle, NHK World Radio Japan, and Radio Havana Cuba. We will begin with France 24. First, 2 press reviews from Monday on the Israel war on Iran from the Israeli, Iranian, Lebanese, and French press. Then Monday opinion pieces from The Guardian and Foreign Policy. From Thursday, the role of Trump and the U.S. in the war is discussed in French and British press. Then global criticism of the cause of the war from China. Meanwhile, a Chinese military delivery plane seemed to go into Iran. Then a science website warns that global carbon emissions are on track to go beyond the 1.5-degree threshold for irreversible global warming in the next 3 years. France 24.
Well, let's start with the Israeli paper, the Jerusalem Post. They have it, of course, on their front page. Here they have a photo of the destruction following a strike in the residential neighborhood of Bat Yam. They also quote Defense Minister Israel Katz saying that Israel will destroy any military assets in Tehran. Now, the paper says the conflict could last weeks, but that Israel's military superiority over Iran could possibly shorten it. Now, let's go to Iran with the Iran Daily here. Now, they have photos of the aftermath of an Iranian strike on an Israeli oil refinery in Haifa on their front page. It's described as a successful retaliatory operation which caused widespread disruption. Their front page also features an interview with the Iranian president saying that Iran is not seeking war but defending itself, very much about defense there on the Iran Daily. The Tehran Times, meanwhile, is taking a slightly different approach when it's as covering the conflict, looking at it slightly differently, highlighting the victims of Israel's latest strikes, civilians, and more civilians. It also features a photo of international condemnation of Israel down here, a photo of the protests going on in London. Now looking at L'Orient Le Jour, this paper in Lebanon here, they're looking at Trump and pointing the finger at him whilst waiting for Trump's decision. Without clear objectives on either side. Everyone is waiting on the president to make a move, it says. Meanwhile, Iran and Israel continue to battle it out, a choice between cholera or the plague, it says in that opinion piece on the front page there. Now, in France, Libération is kind of echoing the same feelings on their front page here. Dynamic of the worst, it says, saying that it's in the interest of both parties to continue the conflict in order to stay in power. Finally, L'Humanité, taking quite a stance on their front page here. They called the conflict Netanyahu's war without limits.
And beyond the front pages, Emily, a lot of opinion pieces continue a little bit in that same steel, but a good bit of debate over where this may go.
Yes, of course, very much debated in the columns. Let's have a look first at this opinion piece in The Guardian. Trump, Netanyahu and Khamenei, 3 angry old men who could get us all killed. He argues here that it was an avoidable war that Israel chose, but which could have been prevented. He says that the behavior of the 3 leaders raises serious doubts about their judgment, common sense, motives, and even their sanity. Now, Foreign Policy has a few ideas about how it might end. In this analysis piece, it outlines a few different scenarios: a grudging Iranian surrender, a US-guided ceasefire, or an increase in international pressure on Netanyahu, to name a few. But it says that darker scenarios are most likely, including a potential regional war, escalation maybe even coming from the United States.
Conflict between Israel and Iran continues to preoccupy most of the world papers today. You see here on the front page of Le Monde, which wonders about the specter looming of an American, of a U.S. intervention in Iran. It does note, though, that such an intervention is also creating huge divides within Donald Trump's administration. The French paper also saying that only the U.S. possesses large enough bombs that could destroy Iran's underground nuclear facilities. The big question, though, is whether the U.S. will get involved, whether they will get militarily involved. For the moment, this seems to be the answer from Donald Trump. I may do it, I may not. For the British Daily, The Independent, they see Donald Trump as really taunting Iran over those airstrikes.
Conflict, of course, has far-reaching consequences. We can attest to that from the Chinese press today. You've been looking at.
Well, the global. Well, that's right. So the Chinese press have never been shy in their criticism of the U.S., and it's no different today. This is from the Global Times, one of the Communist Party's official newspapers, and this is the editorial here, where you see there the editor's warning that the U.S. should immediately stop fueling the war machine in the Middle East. And in its editorial, it goes on to say that the U.S. is responsible because it unilaterally withdrew from the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action agreement signed several years ago, in which Iran agreed to limit its nuclear program in exchange for the lifting of sanctions and aid. The Times also warns that Iran's national sovereignty, security, and territorial integrity must be respected. And it says, history has shown that from Afghanistan to Iraq, U.S. military interventions never bring about peace. Rather, they simply fuel anti-American hatred. And on that note, the Daily Telegraph today also says that a day after Israel attacked Iran on Friday, a cargo plane left China. Its destination was meant to be Luxembourg, but radar shows that it actually never flew above European skies. Rather, it sort of disappeared from the radar over Iranian skies, raising concerns about what China might be doing, when, particularly because it was a Boeing 747 freighter, which are typically used, Stuart, for transporting military equipment and weapons.
Mystery there. Moving on to something different. A new study. It sounds the alarm about the environment, notably our attempts to limit global average surface warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius.
You can read about it in this science website, phys.org, which says that global carbon emissions are on track to exhaust the 1.5 degrees Celsius budget within 3 years. So basically, this new study from Earth Science System Science Data warns that the estimate of the remaining carbon budget for to keep temperatures at 1.5 degrees or less is 130 million tons of carbon dioxide. And concretely, it means that the world, the way we're going right now, will exhaust that budget within the next 3 years, and after which point, global warming will be irreversible. It's a very stark warning from the study that also reiterates that a majority of global warming over the past decade is due to human activity, including burning of fossil fuels, deforestation, and international aviation, which has now reached pre-pandemic levels.
Those press reviews were from France 24. France 24 may be easily found at their website, France24.com, as well as a YouTube channel called France 24 English, as well as most podcast sites, as is the Shortwave Report. Next, Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle. The Israeli military operation in Iran has not slowed down activities in Gaza, where the distribution of limited aid supplies has resulted in nearly daily massacres of starving people. An interview with Olga Cherevko, spokesperson for the United Nations Office for Humanitarian Affairs, Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle.
While Israel is trading attacks with Iran, it's also pushing on with its military operations in Gaza. In response to international pressure, Israel partially lifted its 11-week blockade of the Palestinian territory several weeks ago, but aid supplies remain limited. and accessing that aid has proven increasingly dangerous. After several deadly incidents at aid distribution sites, the UN says there has been another mass casualty event among Gazans waiting for food. Health officials in Gaza say more than 60 people were killed. Israel does not allow international journalists to freely report from Gaza, making it difficult to independently verify what's really happening there.
Chaos erupts as explosions are heard near an aid distribution point in Khan Yunis. Local witnesses say Israeli forces opened fire and fired tanks on people waiting for food. Hundreds of injured people were rushed to nearby hospitals. Local health officials say that hospitals have been overwhelmed with patients suffering from shrapnel and gunshot wounds, which they say are difficult to treat due to a shortage of medical supplies.
Today, people have been killed and wounded by artillery shells and targeted with direct missiles. These shells that fell among the crowds and thousands of civilians caused a terrible massacre. So far, we have counted 59 martyrs, and there are dozens more who are still on the ground, and others who have been blasted to pieces because of shells that fell directly among civilians.
The Israeli military has acknowledged the incident and said it happened close to where its forces have been operating for days. It denied targeting civilians deliberately. Gaza's health ministry say killings of civilians trying to secure food have been an almost daily occurrence since the new aid system was introduced. UN agencies and major aid groups have criticized and rejected the new system, saying it can't meet the mounting needs of the population in Gaza, where they say starvation has become widespread.
Olga Turevko is with the United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, and she joins us tonight from Gaza City. Olga, reports of another deadly incident at an aid distribution site, this time in Khan Yunis in southern Gaza. What can you tell us?
These reports are absolutely horrific. Today, our health partners reported over 60 people being killed and almost 300 being injured. These casualties went to Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis, which already all the hospitals that are accepting trauma patients and these mass casualty incidents are obviously putting a massive strain on the hospitals that are still struggling to operate.
You're a humanitarian yourself. How do you feel seeing people seeking aid come under fire again and again?
It's absolutely horrifying. I spoke today to a woman who was telling me that the other day she did the same thing together with a friend of hers who is 9 months pregnant. And I was thinking to myself, how desperate must one be when they have no other choice but to literally risk their life on a daily basis just in order not to watch their children starve in front of their eyes. There is a limited volume of aid that is being allowed into Gaza. It is restricted both in volume and in the types of aid that can enter. And of course, we are further constrained in being able to deliver this aid. So basically, the bottom line is that it is less than a drop in the ocean, and it is not addressing the needs of the people. And the only way to address the needs of the people is by allowing an unrestricted flow of aid to enter Gaza over a sustained period of time so that we can safely deliver it to the people in need.
Today, the World Health Organization pleaded for fuel to be allowed into Gaza. How does that shortage impact life in the Strip?
Everything runs on fuel in Gaza. You know, we have obviously life-saving equipment that is being powered in the hospitals, and now this equipment is on the verge of shutting down. Of water and sanitation facilities already. We're saying we have virtually run out, but we have run out because right now we cannot provide enough water, for example, for people that is in line with internationally established sphere standards, they're called. Telecommunications, I mean, everything that powers life runs on fuel. And right now, We don't have access to the fuel that we have in still inside Gaza, and more fuel isn't allowed to enter by the Israeli authorities.
Do you believe you and your fellow humanitarians will be allowed at any time soon to fully resume operations as you used to carry out before the blockade, before October 7th?
Well, we're certainly doing everything that we can to ensure that this is restored, because this is the only way to address the issues on the ground and really to talk about the meaningful lifting of the blockade. We're not talking about just giving people food or giving people water. We have to talk about restoring people's dignity. It has been stripped away from them. And the only thing that they are doing right now is just surviving. And even that is at risk on a daily basis.
That was Olga Cherevko of UNOCHA in Gaza City. Thank you so much.
That interview was from Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle, which may be heard at a combined audio-video website, DW.com, as well as on YouTube at their channels called DW News and DW Documentary, and most podcast sites. On to NHK World Radio Japan. Nippon Steel says that it has done everything necessary to buy U.S. steel, which Trump has approved. Australian Prime Minister Albanese wasn't able to have his one-on-one with Trump, who left the G7 meeting early. While the G7 leaders were meeting in Canada, the Chinese president was on a tour of Central Asia and offered to play a constructive role in stabilizing the Middle East. The Japanese Defense Ministry is evacuating citizens from Iran and Israel. Israel bombed a TV studio in Iran that was on air. The Stockholm International Peace Research Institute released their annual report on global nuclear weapons, NHK Japan.
Japan's Nippon Steel says it's completed the necessary procedures to buy U.S. steel, turning it into a wholly owned subsidiary. Nippon Steel announced the completion of the deal on Wednesday night, Japan time. The acquisition, valued at around 2 trillion yen, nearly $14 billion, follows negotiations with U.S. President Donald Trump's administration. Last week, the two companies announced Trump had approved their partnership. Their statement said they had entered into a national security agreement with the U.S. government. The NSA includes commitments related to domestic production, trade matters, and governance, including a golden share to be issued to the U.S. government. The golden share allows the U.S. to veto important decisions related to the management of U.S. steel. Nippon Steel announced a plan to buy out U.S. steel about 18 months ago. But then-President Joe Biden issued an order blocking the purchase on national security grounds. Nippon Steel aims to expand operations in the U.S. where it sees potential for growth and expects strong demand for high-grade products. While the G7 leaders were meeting in Canada, Chinese President Xi Jinping was on a tour of Central Asia. He says Beijing is ready to play a constructive role in stabilizing the Middle East. China's foreign ministry said Xi expressed deep concerns about Israel's military operation against Iran. He said it's caused a sudden escalation of tensions in the region. He made the remarks Tuesday when he met with Uzbek President Shavkat Mirziyoyev in the Kazakh capital of Astana. Xi said China opposes any actions that infringe on the sovereignty, security, and territorial integrity of other countries. He called on all related parties to work to de-escalate tensions in the Middle East as soon as possible. Later on Tuesday, he attended the China Central Asia Summit along with all five of the region's leaders. Xi made a veiled criticism of U.S. President Trump and his tariff policies. He said China and the countries of Central Asia oppose hegemonies and power politics while promoting universally beneficial and inclusive economic globalization. The remarks and the timing of the China Central Asia Summit are widely seen as Xi's attempt to counter the G7 and the Trump administration.
Australia's Prime Minister will have to wait for his much-anticipated one-on-one with U.S. President Donald Trump. The scheduled meeting between Trump and Anthony Albanese was abandoned when the U.S. President abruptly left the G7 summit in Canada. The two leaders have yet to meet face to face. Albanese had hoped to sell Trump on the importance of the AUKUS security pact between Australia, the UK and the US. A day earlier, Albanese had stressed that American interests would be served by the security framework, which is intended to deter China in the Pacific. The Pentagon is reviewing the pact to ensure it aligns with Trump's America First agenda. Under the pact, Australia will acquire at least three Virginia-class attack submarines from the United States. British Prime Minister Keir Starmer told reporters the submarine deal was going ahead following his meeting with Trump at the summit on Monday.
Japan's defense minister has ordered self-defense forces aircraft to stand by in northeastern Africa. He said they'll be used to evacuate Japanese citizens from Israel or Iran. The foreign ministry says about 1,000 Japanese are in Israel and 280 in Iran. With airports shut in both countries, the government plans to evacuate people by land. Buses will begin carrying those wishing to leave Israel or Iran to neighboring countries as early as Thursday. Defense Minister Nakatani Gen said Thursday the two C-2 transport aircraft will head to Djibouti. About 120 officials have been assigned to work on the evacuation operation. Nakatani said his ministry will closely cooperate with diplomatic channels. Iranian media says one woman is dead after an Israeli strike on the state broadcaster. Casualties are mounting on both sides as the conflict continues. The strike was captured live during a broadcast. Israel Defense Forces say they targeted a communication center being used for military purposes. The IDF also claims they killed four senior Iranian intelligence officials. They also say they destroyed over 120 missile launchers, about one-third of the Iranian arsenal. Iran's health ministry says over 1,800 people have been injured and more than 200 killed since Israel started its attacks Friday. It says most of the casualties are civilians. Iran has retaliated with its own strikes. Israel claims Iran fired more than 370 missiles, with 30 making impact. Israeli media reports four people have been killed in missile attacks near Tel Aviv through Monday. A Swedish research institute says the risk of nuclear war is growing as arms control agreements are weakening and some nuclear powers are building up their arsenals. The Stockholm International Peace Research Institute released its latest annual assessment on Monday. It said the reduction in nuclear weapons ever since the end of the Cold War is coming to an end. The report says the nine nuclear-armed countries had an estimated 12,241 warheads in January 2025, down just 164 from a year earlier. More than 30% of those were deployed with operational forces. The report says Russia and the United States possess about 90% of the world's nuclear weapons. Russia is estimated to have 5,459 warheads, about 280 more than the U.S. The Research Institute estimates that China has the third largest nuclear stockpile with at least 600 warheads. It says Beijing's nuclear arsenal is growing at the rate of about 100 new warheads a year, faster than that of any other country.
Those reports were from NHK World Radio Japan on shortwave. They're heard at 10 p.m. at 13710 or on the web at www.3.nhk.or.jp. All the times I announce are for Pacific Daylight Saving Time, so please adjust them to your time zone. NHK is available at most podcast sites. If you have questions or comments about the shortwave report or could help support this program, like a new subscriber from Nevada did this week, there's a link for online donations available at my website, outfarpress.com, or you could write to Dan Roberts at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490. Many, many thanks to everyone who's ever helped keep this freely distributed show on the airwaves. Please help if you can. And if you're listening on a public radio station, please help support them as well. We will conclude with Radio Havana, Cuba. Netanyahu has been urging Trump to join the war on Iran. The Iran Foreign Ministry says the Israeli strikes are not surgical and are killing many women and children. Radio Havana, Cuba.
Embattled Benjamin Netanyahu has urged his buddy, Donald Trump, to join Israel's war against Iran. The request was made within the past several hours, intending to supplement the Israeli regime's efforts with American capabilities amid the ongoing war with Iran, according to a report by the American news media Axios, published early on Sunday. These capabilities reportedly include bunker-busting munitions and heavy bombers. Reports stated that the Tel Aviv regime has specifically called for a potential joint Israeli-U.S. strike targeting Iran's uranium enrichment facility in northern Iran. On Friday, Israel's ambassador to the United States also emphasized that the entire operation has to be completed with the elimination of Fordo. However, on the same day, Iran's Atomic Energy Organization confirmed that the Fordo facility had not experienced any major accident amid the Israeli regime's brutal aggression on several locations across Iran. Iran's foreign ministry has debunked the propaganda of so-called surgical strikes without residential damage, peddled by the Zionist regime, calling it routine barbarity. In a post on X, formerly called Twitter, the spokesperson for the foreign ministry of Iran said that the latest Israeli regime's aggression on civilian areas in the capital, Tehran, which primarily targeted innocent women and children, three of the recent strikes killed 73 women and children. 20 children were killed in a residential complex. 10 still remain trapped under rubble 48 hours later. One of the deadliest Israeli strikes in the wee hours of the morning over the weekend targeted a residential building in northern Tehran's neighborhood, killing 60 civilians, including 20 children. Their surgical accuracy, targeting families, kids, and women. That's the routine of their surgical accuracy.
Those reports were from Radio Havana, Cuba. Cuba's website is working well at radiohc.cu, but there's no podcast. On shortwave, Cuba may be heard from noon to 1 p.m. at 15140, and from 6 p.m. to midnight at either 6000, 6060, or 6100. At their website, radiohc.cu, you can stream the English version at noon, Monday through Friday, Pacific Daylight Time. One of my goals in producing this show is to encourage people like you to listen to international broadcasts, get a global perspective. You do have to look harder these days because of U.S. and EU prohibitions on media. Every Thursday evening, I post a new shortwave report at the website for the show. That's outfarpress.com. At my website, you can also listen to past shows, find information for online support. There's a link at my website along with the podcast link, and get advice for listening at home. The Shortwave Report, which is now in its 29th year of production, remains free to rebroadcast upon notification. For 27 years, the Shortwave Report's been produced and distributed off the electrical grid in Northern California using solar panels. I'm still recuperating from spinal injuries, and I'm staying in a house connected to the grid. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. Thanks for listening.